What exactly is advantage? Because now you have a system that is advantage and disadvantage, right?
Yeah, so one of the things we're trying to do is
give that to you.
Get rid of the modifiers that you're applying on the fly at the table. Like, this is obviously still modifier, like bonuses, right? Your attack bonus, your strength,
sure.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, but you're saying things like CA.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of adding a number, if you have advantage, you roll twice, take the highest result. So if you have attack advantage.
Whoa!
Yep, and if you have disadvantage, you roll twice and take...
Whoa! What?
Okay.
Well, hold on, this was funny. So you asked this question thinking that you knew the answer, and now you're going to Crazy Town.
Well, they changed that since that first
version. Well, I imagine it's all different than what you've seen. So you're saying, because that's very table game type stuff.
So if you have combat disadvantage, you roll twice and take the lowest score? Oh, that's bold.
That is
but
fun.
If I'm fighting a goblin and I'm up on the stairs and he's down a stair, I have advantage over him, right?
So this is one of the things where the
DM,
a lot of it's up to the DM.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are certain like spells and abilities that will just say you get combat advantage in this situation. But yeah, a lot of it depends on the DM. So,
but it's not just combat advantage now, right? I mean, it's the whole idea of advantage is his back against the wall.
It's not just fighting. It also applies to skills or any check. So if you're trying to, like, say, if you're going to bash down a door and you have a crowbar, the DM might give you advantage for that. We have to make sure it's defined pretty well because some things will just give you, like, a +5 bonus and then some things will give you advantage. But generally speaking, advantage applies if it's a modifier that applies only, like, it's something that in, say, 4th edition, like, a player might say, hey, you get +2 to that one check.
We did that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so instead you're just getting advantage, so you don't have to. It doesn't stack, so you just get advantage or you don't.
You know what? And the DC stays the same, no matter what it is. There's no math at all. You just roll 2 dice.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So there's still bonuses, like you might have a feat or something like that that gives you a bonus, but that's all stuff you're doing when you're making your character away.
That's wargaming stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
I like it.
Yeah, so just again, it's one of the things we're doing to speed up play at the table.
Oh, God, a disadvantage sounds like a real shit fest.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
What if you roll like a 20 and then a 1?
You get fucked.
You're very sad. Unless you have advantage, then you're very happy.
Yeah. Then you celebrate.
And one of the little things you notice too is, one of the little flourishes I like, but like a lot of times if you've been playing 4th, like players will forget bonuses or modifiers.
Sure.
So when they say, this is if you forget.
Yeah, you're saying, hold on. No, Kiko would make these awesome labels. And honestly, I think it worked very well. I mean, eventually it got nuts, but he essentially created a kind of UI that would just float on top of the game, literally with a bunch of stickers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we would have boss monsters that had 7 or 8 stickers, like +2 from this, -2 from that, like +2 from this, -2 from that.
We're trying to streamline all that stuff.
Interesting.
So, again, one of the nice things, if you forget it, like, let's say somebody makes an attack and you gave advantage, if you got it, he just re-rolls, right? So if you roll a miss, say, hey, we just get advantage.
That's smooth, too.
So that's one of the things we're trying to do, again, keep
things
moving.
Okay.
Like, no, you have advantage. Okay, but out.
Yeah.
So interesting.
You don't have to remember what you rolled. Or, you know, you can even forget. Like, you can, someone else's turn can start. You can pick your dice up, and then you remember. So we try to keep it along the same line. So, you know, as far as the usability of it, it flows pretty well.
So it's the idea that during the course of a battle, a player might say, do I have advantage in this situation? Or can we agree that I have advantage here?
Yeah, usually the way it's meant to work out is that if a player comes up with a good plan, or, like, let's say, you know, the example you had of, like, you know, if you're above the goblin, right?
Yeah.
You might reward them with advantage.
Exactly.
That's I climb up onto the table. Okay, roll. You have advantage.
See, but this gets back to RP, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a card that says, I get up on the table. Right. This is you trying to use your environment or trying to do something clever.
And you don't have to say, okay, you use your minor action to get on the table.
Exactly. You just move up there. It's part of it.
Climb up onto the table.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, here's another dice for you to roll.
Does the concept of difficult terrain still exist?
Moving through different things has different amounts of movement it requires and things like that. Yeah. And a lot of, like, you know, checks to, like, maybe you have to make a check to jump up on the table. Like, it's a lot of it kind of giving the DM the power to decide what kind of game they want
to
play.
Sure. So hip deep mud.
Oh, yeah, that's still, yeah.
Now we're talking about disadvantage or something like
that. Yeah, you might, exactly. The terrain effects and stuff, yeah.
Interesting.
I am intrigued by that. But here, listen, let's talk about Ben Wynn Bronze Bottom and his supposed expertise.
I've got so many of them.
So
you've got skills you haven't even used yet.
They're all inert. They're just inert and waiting to come out.
So expertise dice, that is our new fighter mechanic. So if you played 3rd edition, fighters just got bonus feats.
That's right.
In 2nd edition, you had, like,
tons of feats. And they had feats they could use the sliding scale to add damage and things like that. I mean, they had ways of goofing around with their roles and stuff like that. And then in 4th edition, they're like Gandalf.
Yeah. You get your powers, right?
Right.
So one of the things we decided in the first draft of the game, fighters just got a bonus to attack and damage. And we sent it out to be play-tested, and everyone basically hated that. Like, 80% of people said this is lame. So we decided maybe we should go up with something a little bit better.
I see. So your thought was, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Let's just reinforce that. But that just makes them feel dumb, right?
Exactly. It's boring. You just, every round, you just I attack. Some people like that.
For some people, that's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that's what we wanted to do, is create a new mechanic that if you don't want to feel you have to do a lot of management at the table, you can do that. If you want to have a lot of things to manage, a few more options, you can also opt into that. So, I am totally blanking. No, the expertise dice. Yeah.
Like, hey, come back to us, like, Mike Morales.
What, cleric? No, so expertise dice. At first level, you get a D4. I'd like it to be a D6, but right now it's a D4. I think it could be a D6 and not break anything. So you get this D6.
Yeah.
And as the basic fighter, if you hit someone, you get to roll that D6 as a bonus to your damage. Right? Pretty straightforward.
D4.
D4. What should be a D6? I'm going to say D6. So this would be another thing I can go to the design and say, hey,
it's already in the podcast, guys. Come on.
We can't. We got to go with these. Because D4, I've been rolling D4s in the playtest. It's a pain.
I see. So the same
no
way,
one likes to roll D4s.
No one
no,
wants.
No, it's boring. You feel like a bad person.
You feel like a pansy wizard.
It's the most you can get. 4.
Yeah. Exactly. And also, you never want to have this situation where it's like you make somebody take a feat to make it reasonable. Auto-include feat. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But basically what you're talking about, I mean, this is sort of like a rogue's bonus damage on CA.
Exactly. Except this, you're getting it all the time, right? But here's the thing. You get to choose to use it. Because if you decide to not use it on your damage, you can use it to get DR against an attack. So basically, if someone hits you and you haven't used that die yet, you get to roll it and reduce the damage by that much. So
that's like the... Interesting.
And that basically represents a parry. So
yeah,
parry
of course it does.
Or something like that. And as you gain levels, you get more and more of these dice.
Well, what do you mean more? What do you mean, like, more, like, a higher dice? Or do you mean, like, more... literal dice.
You get both. So you start off, you get 2d6, and then you can eventually get 2d8 and 3d8.
So as a level 1 fighter, I have a damage die.
Yeah.
That is what?
Oh,
it depends on the weapon, right? So let's say it's a d4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever it is, yeah. You have a dagger.
But D4s are what wizards roll. That's not... It'll never be a d4.
Okay, let's say it's a d6.
Yeah. Or a d8.
Or d8. It's a d8, yeah, it's a long sword. For my sword. I get 2d6...
Well, at first level, you get 1d6.
Okay, I get 1d6, and I can hit a guy, I hit him, mm-hmm. I rolled my d6, I'm like, I want to add this extra d6 to that damage.
Yep.
Or I can hold it, and when he hits me back, I can roll it and reduce... Does that raise my AC, or does that reduce damage?
It's DR, so it's damage reduction.
Yeah, it reduces the damage.
Yeah!
Wow, that's pretty cool.
On your turn, you get the dice back, so you add them every round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to just play
so
straight,
strong.
You want to just be straightforward... You're just using them either you hit, so you roll them as extra damage, or you miss, so you hold them for your defense. And then if you want, you can take other special abilities to let you do other things.
So it's a resource at that point.
Exactly.
Do you make the player roll it when he rolls damage, or can he roll damage and then be like, oh, I want to add my d6 to that?
Right now it's when you roll damage.
So you have to make that decision.
Yeah, exactly.
Up front.
Before the dice hit the table.
Yeah.
So give me an example of something I might use my expertise dice for.
So as an example, actually, I'll pull these out of the file.
Like granting a plus to a friend? Like, can I destabilize a target?
Yeah, you could be more like a little bit of a commander fighter. It kind of depends what we want with the warlord, because this mechanic might show up in another class, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now we have one you can use. You can spend your dice to knock someone over. So if you hit someone instead of doing extra damage, you can knock them prone. You can also, if you're playing more like the swashbuckler, you can spend your dice to shift, to move around someone, so you can move without provoking opportunity.
Oh, man. So you get all your fighter types
cool.
that you want
yep.
inside that system.
Exactly. So some of the guys we have here are the different styles. And like a lot like we do with the specialties, you can build your own style. Like,
yeah.
But these are basically pre-packages. We have an archer, we have a brawler, we have the duelist, who's the swashbuckler. We have the protector, who's basically a defender type guy.
So what can the protector do with his dice?
So protector, you can. I'm reading it right here, right?
Please do.
You can spend your dice to reduce damage that your friends take.
Yeah.
So you have a few options.
Oh man,
yeah.
I am in
love.
So
that
with
guy
that.
Would use his dice not on his turn.
That's correct.
That's
yep.
right.
Okay.
He uses his to defend. On your turn.
And then he gets them back.
On his turn.
Yep. So what will happen is, like, let's say at first level you only have one guy. So if you have
cool.
one guy next to you, you get to protect him once. As you gain more dice, you can use those dice piecemeal. Like, let's say you're a sixth level guy and you have three dice, and there's five orcs that attack your friend. You can spend your dice against three different attacks. You have three dice, so you can spend one against one attack, one against
Speaking
the next.
Speaking of dice.
Yeah. So yeah, so the idea is to make it as complex as the player wants, because a lot of players will just roll those dice on damage,
well,
or
sure.
they'll save them like, okay, I missed, mm-hmm. but now I just use these dice to block damage.
To survive.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
And so where you've moved the design complexity is to the head end, where you're determining the type, in the same way that like the cleric is choosing a domain that has specific functions and determines things like armor class and at wills. You're moving what you can purchase in your personal dice economy with these top level.
Exactly.
So Binwin would probably have them as damage, right?
I mean, I would think so.
Because in a way, it lets you think of the 4E rolls. At least for the fighter now, a lot of the classes, you can kind of pick, you can choose what role you want to be.
Exactly. But at the same time, right? So, I mean, we think that because he definitely likes to hit, but also before, as a 4th edition, hitter person, he was marking people. And that was a way to essentially, functionally increase the armor class of his friends.
To protect us, yeah.
And so, I'm not sure that it is actually completely
how
a done deal.
Why don't
you tell us about some of these other functions?
Yeah.
And you know what? What's it going to take to get you into a D&D Next Warrior today? You tell
me.
Yeah.
I mean, to get me into a warrior today, he's probably going to go back and talk to his manager like 3 times and do that BS thing. But my dad taught me how I'm ready to walk away if I don't get the warrior that I want at the price
do
that
all
I want.
Dads teach that?
Yeah,
my dad taught me the same thing.
Yeah. They do.
Now, did your dad tell you the story where a guy walks in with cash, the box of cash, and goes, here's the cash, give it to me.
Give me the car?
Yeah.
No.
Like, if you walk in with if you have the cash, just, I'm buying the car.
Sorry.
You could go in, like, if it's a $15,000 car, you walk with 11 cash, you just go, hey, I've got 11 cash, do you want it or not? I had a friend whose grandpa did that.
Yeah.
He walked in and goes, we're not haggling. Here it is, 11, duffel bag, here's 11 grand cash. Do you want it? And the guy goes, 11 grand done. Then he walked out and he pulled a hammer out and he went bang and he dented it and he goes, there, now I won't be nervous about busting it on the way home. And got in the car and drove home.
This is a great story.
You love old coot stories.
Oh man, that story has got the coot factor.
But anyway,
coot max.
Let's get me into a warrior today.
All right.
What are the types of warriors?
What are the types of warriors you've got laid out here?
Here's what we have. Here's what I can do, right? I have what I have, the off the shelf factory things.
Sure, sure.
For you.
What's on the sticker?
I've got my spreadsheet, so if we have to go and start doing some design, we can do that.
Okay.
We've got an archer, which I don't think would fit your character.
No.
We have a brawler, who's a little bit like, he pushes people around, knocks them down, grabs onto them.
Mm-hmm. So he's putting dice into knockdowns and grabs?
A little more like kind of controller-ish.
There we go.
We've got the duelist, which is like the swashbuckler
kind of
thing.
That's not Binwin.
Okay, now we have protector, though, which might be something that kind of speaks to your character, because that's like how benevolent Binwin's feeling. Is he here to actually take hits to the rest of the team?
It's what I'm supposed to do. It was what I was hired to do.
I kind of get the sense that might not be what you want.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
So what we have then maybe, and this is my final thing.
Okay.
I don't normally show this to people who just came in off the street.
Sure, I understand.
We've got this thing. We've got the Slayer.
I've made your company a lot of money.
The Slayer.
I'm liking this.
The Slayer is all about you, right? As a Slayer, it's all about killing stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You're just saying, I don't really care what the rest of the party's doing. Here's me. Here's my weapon. Here's a guy I want to kill, and I'm going to kill him. And so you get things like, you know, maybe if you missed an attack, but you rolled kind of a nice number, you kind of feel cheated, like you should have maybe had a better attack.
Ooh.
You could just go ahead and roll your expertise dice and do damage on those. So you kind of get more hits.
So you get better minimum damage.
Exactly, yeah.
Or you get minimum damage on attacks you don't hit with.
Yeah, right now it's like it's just if you just flat out miss, but what the mechanic's probably going to change be like you have to roll like a 5 or higher or some number or higher.
So if you don't critically miss.
Yeah, exactly, something like that.
Hmm. So basically, you can still put some dice on somebody.
That's pretty interesting.
I like it.
Now, would that damage, this damage we're getting from dropping the dice, is that going to be buffed by his strength?
No, it wouldn't. So that is the important thing to consider is when you're rolling these dice, you only get the dice, you don't get to add any modifiers, because it would just be a little unbalanced.
It would be a mess. I was hoping it would be unbalanced, and that would be great, because he's going to be in my party. That is interesting. So you're always getting something. Now, can these warriors also do it? Also use them for the traditional purpose of just getting extra damage on an attack?
Exactly.
So these are all extra things that they can do.
Yep. The damage and absorbing damage. It's always all fighters get that.
Oh, okay. So that's not something specifically kitted.
Exactly.
Ah.
That's kind of like the onboard option. Right?
There we go.
Like, like power steering.
Exactly.
And then you get Cleave, which you've played third edition. You should, so you can cleave people at third level. So if you drop someone, you get to make another attack.
I like that.
You get a thing called Riposte, which basically it's kind of like a better version of the damage reduction. If someone attacks you and misses you, you can spend three dice to make an attack back at.
A full attack.
That's pretty cool.
So, and you're just rolling damage.
For
the riposte.
Oh no, you still have to roll.
Oh, you have to roll the attack.
But then, if you roll your attack and miss, you can use your glancing blow feature if you still have some dice left over.
Okay.
But you have to spend three dice though to get the riposte.
So the riposte is a big
spend. Yeah. And then there's whirlwind, which lets you attack. If you hit a guy, you could spend your dice to attack other guys. So if you're surrounded by orcs, and this is your ninth level ability,
use that when I play with Fae.
So can I ask you about the riposte? So these are my three dice. Mm-hmm. This is my d20. Sure. I get missed. Yeah. That's the guy who misses me. I want to hit him back.
Yep.
I'm going to spend all three of my dice.
Yeah, so those, you don't roll those, they're just gone, and now you go ahead and roll a regular.
Those are your expertise.
To see if I hit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I deal damage.
Yeah, just regular damage.
But I don't have any more expertise dice to add.
Assuming you only had three to begin with. Now, obviously, when you're higher level, you may have an extra dice you can use in the traditional way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you're 10th, where Spin One is, you'll get 4d12 as your bonus.
4d12?
So, what the basically, hell? This is us making fighters as badass as wizards.
Exactly, but not making them badass in the wizard way.
Exactly.
So if he hits somebody
like a ton
and
of
really
bricks.
Wants to kill them, he could be like, I'm going to roll four more d12, and that's going to be straight damage?
Yep.
Hold on. Stop. You're saying that I can roll all of these dice on one attack?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Well, think about it, guys, honestly, because the reason why I like this...
Holy shit!
...is that D&D is always reduced whether you kill a person to a number of hit points, right? Like, you're just hacking away at this guy. Where in real life, if you have a sword and you put it in the right place, the guy's
gonna
die.
No, this is... What this is Conan shit.
Yeah.
This is... That 4d12 is like a decapitation.
That's what I'm saying.
You do not fuck around with this fucking necromancer.
No. You bring the axe... neck. Yeah.
You bring the axe down on the necromancer.
So to give you guys some a way to compare this, so at 10th level, the 10th level mook guy, the kind of typical guy, and I'm not sure what kind of creature that would be.
A mookling.
Yeah, they have about 31, 32 hit points. So you could now, but generally, if you're playing in a regular campaign, you'd be fighting more like level 5 mooks at that level, because usually the higher level guys are elites and more powerful. But even then, so basically the fighter, if he's fighting a guy who isn't like a minotaur or something like that, you can just chop him down and end with one.
But then again, what are my hit points at that level?
Yeah, and your hit points are going to be, let's see.
I'm at 10th level, they're going to be good.
I'm as easy to kill, right?
You have, I think.
But your hit dice are probably 12s, right?
Yeah, his hit dice, well, it's a dwarf, they could be d12s, depending on what kind of dwarf you're playing. But you're going to have
what about, kind of a dwarf I'm playing?
Yeah, there's different things you get to choose. You're going to have about 75 hit points or so.
That's tough. So as a DM, do my monsters have... Like, as a DM in 4th edition, I had monsters that were basically the same roles as my players. I had controllers and I had, you know... Am I going to have a monster that's a fighter that has expertise dice?
So one of the things we want to do is keep the base mechanics for monsters fairly simple.
Okay.
If there is a fighter, it'd probably be more like an NPC, like the main villain...
Yeah.
If you were fighting like train guards, they're probably going to have effects that are a little simpler. Like they might just be a flat bonus rather than extra dice and things like that.
But like a boss, like a main character, he might have expertise dice, and I'd be spending them just like the players.
In the same way, like when we make a real NPC,
so I could roll 4d12 against him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. But again, right? So obviously everybody else is monsters. Like mechanically speaking, they're monsters. But when you make that nemesis. You know, that's almost always a character.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's something we're kind of carrying through, because what we want to be able to do for DMs is, you know, we've talked about, like, the different fighting styles, is make some really super simple ones DMs can use. You don't have to track as much unless you want to.
But I'm still thinking about this villain, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sword is just clanging off. Like, this is, like, a very cinematic moment. When he's
spending them to riposte, or
he's just knocking them off until he's ready to do, and ready until he's ready to spend dice. And drop a PC.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh. So, obviously, that's great for him.
Yeah.
Am I as cool?
Love it.
Like,
no.
No. The wizard doesn't have expertise dice?
There is a little bit of a hitch here. So
you notice how he said it's to make the warrior as powerful as a wizard.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So the one thing with the wizard is basically the wizard is going to look a little different since you're coming from fourth. It looks a little bit more like the third edition wizard, and you have your daily
spells. I
don't
know what that wizard is.
So basically what you have as a wizard is you have your at-will spells.
Okay.
So things like magic missile.
So you still retain some of those things.
Exactly.
So I have a spell. I can do something whenever I want.
Exactly.
Magic missile.
Yep.
Pew, pew.
And I think you have three of those to start with. You get to pick.
Okay.
And then your spells, you may have, say, you'll have three daily spells at first level. And those would be things like sleep or burning hands. That are more powerful, obviously more powerful when you're at wills.
Yeah.
But still low level.
Yeah, exactly. And then as you gain levels, you'll get more spells. You don't actually get more at wills. Like, you could choose to take feats to get more of them if you want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you go from three spells to four. Then you start getting second level spells, third level spells. Those are basically higher spell levels. The one thing that I'm a little disappointed right now with is we are also adding magical traditions to the wizard class.
Okay, so this is their domain equivalent.
Exactly. Those haven't been designed yet, though. So that's one of the things where... Because we basically tackled the fighter, and now we're going to tackle the wizard.
I see. So this is like thaumaturgy.
Yeah. Wild magic, war magic.
Oh, I see. So you'll build those in. They're not going to be full classes.
Exactly.
You're going to build that into the head.
You'll be a wizard who specializes in elemental magic.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. And that'll give you some more kind of like...
Or illusion.
Exactly. So we can give you a couple class features. You might get some different at-will abilities, and it'll modify your spells. Hmm.
That sounds really... That would have been a very cool conversation, Mike Merles.
So, yeah, and it's just... we're kind of...
You're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there, right? We have the cleric and the rogue kind of basically solved, and the fighter we spent a while getting on.
The fighter is super
I'm
cool.
Totally sold on that, but here. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this wizard.
Well, it sounds like he doesn't have the wizard ready to
go. I have some stuff here.
Oh.
But basically, it's not going to be... I mean, the one trick with the wizard right now is there aren't too many choices beyond your spells.
I see.
And what we want to make sure is that if you look through the spells you're using, like, what's one of your favorite spells right now?
Magic missile.
Yeah, okay, that's in the game, right?
Okay,
so a lot of that stuff converting would just be, yeah, the old spell, here's the new version of it.
Let's get... So it sounds like wizard is on the periphery of what we're talking about here. But you seem to imply that you had rogue solved.
Oh, kind of.
I want you to tell me about what that means.
So one of the things we did when we looked at rogues, and actually I'm probably overstating that a little bit because sneak attack is still kind of not, it's malfunctioning a little bit. I didn't open rogue because we don't, sorry, one sec. I'm not going to suddenly go and I just opened up my web browser. Here we go, rogue. So rogues got a couple things. One of the things we decided with rogues very early on was we wanted rogues to be the absolute best class with skills in the game. Like, just say if you want to be awesome at skills and awesome at doing, like, different creative stuff, play a rogue, because rogues are just the best at it. So rogues, to start with, get sneak attack. Right now, it's like you have to spend a turn hiding, and then you can pop out and get your bonus damage.
Like we're back in the day.
Yeah, we're kind of thinking maybe we should just give it to you, like, maybe give you, like, a lesser version you can get every round, then give you a backstab, where, like, if you want to do some setup. When it comes to skills, though, so rogues get three extra skills. So everyone else gets three skills, they get six. And when a rogue makes a skill check, he gets two things. First...
Like advantage?
No, he actually gets for your die roll, if your die roll is a minimum of 10.
Yeah.
So if you roll less than a 10, it's always at least a 10. So basically you always get to take 10.
Oh, nice.
And then if the ability score the DM calls for, you can choose to replace the modifier with a +3 bonus. So basically if you're looking for traps, even though it's normally wisdom, if you're playing an 8 wisdom rogue, you're still, instead of being -1 on your check, you're at +3 because you're good enough with your
skills. This is what you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So even though you might not have a natural talent for it, you still have a pretty good aptitude. Yeah, if you have an 18, then you can use your 18, your +4, instead of the +3. So that's kind of like a basic functionality.
Yeah.
And the nice thing, what I've liked in play, is it means rogues are really good at being, say, scouts. Because you know you're always going to roll at least a 10. Most monsters aren't very observant, like orcs have like an 8 wisdom, stuff like that. So if you have an 18 dex and you're trained, you know you're the minimum you're going to roll is a 17. So you can be pretty confident if you decide to go scout ahead, that unless you come across something that's really good, like it's a good sentinel type creature.
They have a floor there.
Exactly.
They don't get those critical failures.
Yep.
The role of the rogue in D&D Next is more of a sneaky guy, you know, as opposed to kind of a rough and tumble fighter scoundrel guy.
Yeah, this is where then we talk about the rogue's unique ability. Each rogue gets a scheme. So the schemes kind of speak to that. So you can choose to be a thief, you can choose to be a thug. And that basically ties into how you get your sneak attack damage.
That's cool.
And then it gives you some special other benefits. So for example, if you're playing a thief, that's your scheme, you get night vision. You can see in the dark because you're just good at skulking around. You can sneak much easier. So normally to hide, you have to have like either something blocking you from view or it has to be really dark. The thief can hide even if it's just shadows. So it might be like an alleyway, which is kind of okay. You know, the lighting's not that high, but not that great. And the thief could hide there, but the thug couldn't. But the thug is better at just straight-up fighting people.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Give me an example of how he's better at straight-up fighting.
So the thug... Let me look at it here. I'll check. But,
he's a dirty fighter.
Yeah, exactly. So the key thing with the thug is right now, and this is probably going to change a little bit.
Yeah.
But the thief has to hide to get sneak attacks. Exactly. The ambusher. The thug gets his bonus damage as long as there's someone else engaging his target. Because basically he's a dirty fighter. So someone's distracted, he comes in and stab in the back.
So basically it's that old CA equivalent.
Exactly.
But now you have this person who is built to deal extra damage when they're fighting with their friend.
Exactly. And that's more like the warrior rogue. Mm-hmm. So, as opposed to the sneaky scout guy. And then, so another one we have is the charlatan, and this guy is based on kind of like the first edition version of the thief, where he could use magic items and stuff.
That's cool!
Oh, right, so, yeah. I remember that.
So the charlatan kind of dabbles in magic. He can't cast spells, but he can like try to use scrolls, try to use magic items, and stuff like that.
That's cool!
That's a weird one.
Yeah, it's kind of going back, we kind of went back to the old mechanics to try to bring stuff up. So if you're playing a first edition thief, you could, this might be how you might convert him.
That's pretty awesome.
Weird.
Man. Anytime you bring in that first edition stuff, I get
it was just so it was so
scary
odd.
And cool and weird.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
That's the main thing about the other about the old stuff is the weirdness.